So my name is Saurabh Verma, and I'm a developer for the Microsoft NetWater team. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about live capturing and how to work with callbacks and stuff. So I hope you guys are not too bored yet already, and you're still with us and you're not sleeping yet. So I just wanted to talk about, like, I don't know whether you guys have noticed yet our tagline for the network monitor logo. We know where you went today. I'm just going to talk about a little bit that how we can know where we actually went today, or where the user went today. So this is the agenda that I have for now. So first and foremost, like, how do I go live? And then I'm going to talk about a little bit about capturing and parsing. And then I have another slide for stopping a capture, because there are a couple of scenarios that I need to talk about or discuss, because there are ways how you can stop capturing, like Darren mentioned, whether you want to discard frames or stuff like that. And then there are some other scenarios that you might want to consider. And then there's a threading mode for managed code, like you have heard about that already, I think, in the couple of slides, the couple of presentations that you already had. And then some, where do I find some more information? And then I'm here for an interview. You can ask me questions at the end, whatever you feel like. All right, so how do we go live? Let's just discuss a small example. Let's just talk about an example code and see how we can capture some data over the wire and then save it to a capture file. But now I'm assuming that you guys are already aware of what a capture file is, right? It's just a file that actually holds some frames. Okay, so how do I go live? So very simple steps. So we have to initialize the capture engine. Straightforward. We create a capture file where we can store all the data. And we configure the network adapters. And then we also have an API to start the capture. Just pretty straightforward, and start capture. And then we are going to just discuss the frame callback function a little bit more in detail. Okay, so I've just listed the APIs for reference, and we can see what the code is going to look like. Okay, so this is just a sample code over here, and I mean, the choice of variable names are, they're not probably the best variable names. The nomenclature you can use at your own leisure. This was just to fit in the slide formatting and stuff. So see how I do this. So I declare the handle, the edge capture engine. I use the NMOpen capture engine API call to get the output value for the handle capture engine. If the run is successful, like we said, like Darren pointed out, that we are using Win32 error codes. So this is one of the most commonly used error code that we use. And if everything is successful, we get the total number of available adapters using the NMGetAdapter count. If that is successful, what I do is basically I create the capture file first. So instead of working anything with the network adapters, what I want to do is basically I want to create a temporary capture file and see. So if you see that there are some parameters that I mentioned over here, like the test.capture, and then there's some big number, 2000. So that's basically just the default temporary size of 20 megs that I'm using to create the capture file size. And there's another option, the NM capture file chain, that just specifies that I want to chain the capture files. And I'm going to discuss a little bit more about this in the end to see what are the other options that we can use. And I get the capture, and I specify the capture file output file handle. So this is the handle that I'll be using for my capture file. And I get the actual capture files, which could be a little different than 20 megs depending on the operating system calls and stuff like that. So now, if that is successful, again, everything is successful so far, right? What I do is basically I trade to the adapter count that I actually received earlier. And see, what I do is basically I'm trying to configure the adapter for using the capture engine and the index for that adapter. And then I have a MyFrame callback. So we can, I just highlighted that a little bit so that we can discuss that later. And what I do is basically I specify my capture file handle to the configure adapter. That's where, that's probably where we are going to get the frames. If that is successful, I start the capture. Now, if you see that basically I have power, or I have control that I can choose to get the adapter information And for each data frame may choose to actually not start a capture. Okay, just a second. So NN start capture is inside that for loop. So that means I can start the capture for each adapter inside that thing. So I have some control over here that on which adapters I want to start capturing or which adapters I want to ignore. So if I really want to ignore some adapters, what I can do is basically I can just call NM get adapter information and then maybe probably use a friendly name or perhaps a MAC address or something, and then maybe I could choose to okay ignore this. So let's say that I have a RAS connection over there which I don't want to capture, and I just want to capture on the Ethernet interface. So I'll probably just use the adapter's properties, and then I can instruct the engine or request the engine to only start capturing on my particular adapter. So this is just a way of telling that how we can actually start captures on other adapters. So that's why we have all this control over here. So again, if something fails, it's just a suggestion. Just do handle error conditions appropriately, and the help definitely points out a lot of error codes. You can get various error values based on whether you fail to start capturing or maybe the driver is not bound to the maybe the netmon driver is not bound to the interface and stuff, and that's why you could fail, or maybe there's a permissions issue. So just handle the error conditions appropriately. So again, this is all native code for now. I mean, and the help document talks about managed code or how you can actually use the managed code, and then we have samples and examples of where you can use managed code to start capturing. Okay, so this is what, okay, so what is a frame callback function? So what we saw earlier was basically it was just a code snippet to actually start capturing, but remember, so there is a frame callback, if you remember from Darren's presentation, that the frame callback is the function that actually receives the frame indication notification from the capture engine. That, oh, here's the frame. Do whatever you feel like. It's called by the capture engine, and is a typical, I mean, that's the only signature that we have for now, the pointer function. It accepts the capture, you get a handle to the capture engine, you get the adapter index, then you have a caller context and a handle to the frame. Now, handle to the raw frame. Now, what do you do with the caller context? So the caller context is something that, I mean, your application may choose to provide while it was trying to configure the adapter. So in the case, if you remember from the previous example, what I was doing was, I was calling nmconfig adapter and the capture engine, and I specified my frame callback, and I specified the handle to capture file. So that handle to capture file was my indication to the frame callback that when my callback is called by the engine, do give me the handle to capture file as a context. So that is one way how you can use the caller context, and maybe you just don't want the handle to capture file. Maybe you want more information, like you could have a structure which has a handle to capture file, or maybe some other information you can just pass on, similar to like thread context, right? So that is what I've mentioned over here. Now the raw frame that you get in the callback is directly add to the file, or you can apply a parser to extract some fields or evaluate filters and stuff like that, like Darren mentioned in the previous presentation too. Okay, so are you guys still with me, or am I going too slow or fast? Okay, so that's the context that I'm going to use. So let's see how we can actually use it. So this is my native example for the frame callback. See, I have this declaration, which is pretty straightforward, I think, and then I just typecast directly from the void pointer to the handle capture file, and that is because I know that is what I'm going to expect. And then I just check if it is not null in my handle. And then what I do is just call nm add frame to the capture file. So again, so basically this code is just called by the capture engine, and it allows you to actually add the frame to a capture file, or you can apply a filter. So earlier we specified, we initialized the capture engine, we configured the adapters, and now we are just, and then we started the capture, and now we can add the frame. So see, now we can know where you went today, right? Because now we have the frames for the capture file. All right, so well, this is just a thing over here. Okay. So next topic I'd actually like to discuss a little bit more about how to actually use a parser and while capturing, and then see whether we can apply a capture filter or something. So let's say we want to just capture frames, and I mean it's probably not something that everybody wants, that they just want to capture each and every frame that they can receive at the adapter level. Maybe they want to apply a filter, because there are two reasons. I mean, first of all, one reason is basically maybe you don't want all those frames, and the second reason is, let's say even if you get all that frames, I mean, how are you going to analyze it? I mean, if you are going to analyze, you still want to apply some filtering, but if you already know a filter beforehand, it might be very easy to actually just apply a filter while you're capturing. So that's the point of a capture filter, but this is again user mode capture filtering. Again, the driver mode capture filtering is separate, and we don't have it yet. It's going to be in the plugin next version or something. Okay, but before actually starting to parse the frames, let's just look at how do we actually use the parsers. So again, Maxwell parsers are installed by default with Netmon, so you don't have to worry about anything else. I mean, it comes with the package. The package deal is a combo deal. You can load the parsers using an load NPL parser, and then after loading the full parser set, you actually need to create a frame parser. Now, what is a frame parser? So the frame parser is actually an optimized parser that we discussed earlier. So the optimized parser is really important, I think, for performance needs and other justifications that I think we heard in the previous presentation. So to create a frame parser, we are going to use a few APIs. We can call NM create frame parser configuration, and then we can add filters, fields, and a lot of information to it, and then we can call the create frame parser. Now this frame parser is what we are going to use to apply to a raw frame. Once we have applied that frame parser to a raw frame, then you can extract the fields, or you can specify, or you can determine whether it passes the filter or not using NM evaluate filter. I mean, again, see, we have many APIs to get the field values. String, by 8-bit, 16-bit, 64-bit, 256-bit, I don't know, lots of. Okay, so here's another sample here. So declared all these variables at the top, indicating that it's kind of global. So global variables are bad choices, I think. Don't use them. It's not recommended. I just used it over here for easier representation. Okay, so use NM load NPL parser, and again, I'm just using the default values over here, and my parser callback is just a my function, which is going to be called back by the nmload parser, and you can determine whether the parser was successful or not and how the progress is going and stuff like that. So I'm just going to use the default parser, no special processing over here. And this is just creating the frame parser. I haven't applied anything over here. So everything is successful in my code all the time, right? So let's go and say, create the frame parser configuration. Now this uses the Hamilton NPL parser, which I just obtained from the previous call. And again, my frame parser callback to determine if there are some error messages or anything else. And I get to handle the frame parser configuration. Now what I want to do is basically I want to add the frames to the capture filter. My capture filter, what I want to do is use the expression http.request.command equals get. So because I have some knowledge of the parser engine, I have some knowledge of the parser, I know what the fields are for HTTP, I can develop this expression. But if you actually need to know which filters you want to use, you'll have to know a little bit more about the parser engine. Let's say you want to have a TCP based expression, or let's say you want to have an MSRPC based expression. So that depends on what is your criteria, what is your scenario, and then you can use that expression to specify a filter. So in this example, I'm using an HTTP GET request. I only want to capture frames which have any HTTP GET request. So that's why I'm using this example, and this is just one way of getting this traffic. And what I do is basically, interesting thing to note over here is that NM add filter, it not only accepts the filter string, but it also accepts a pointer to the filter ID, and this is the filter ID that I can use later on. So I just store this filter ID against the global somewhere over there. So I store this return value, and if everything is successful, like now create the frame parser. So based on the frame parser configuration, I just get the handle the frame parser. So that is how I create the frame parser using the default parser set and applying a filter. Now you may choose to add more filters over here, or you can just concatenate more filters. So you can say HTTP as well as probably, I don't know, Ethernet source address equals to this machine, or destination address equals to that machine. So you can add more filters, or you could also choose to add the specific fields using NMAD field or anything. So this step over here, the NMAD filter step over here, you could basically have multiple calls for NMAD filter, you could also have multiple calls for NMAD field, etc. And that's why you need a frame parser configuration that it can successfully, it's kind of a data store for all these, your requirements of filters and fields and stuff. And then you can create your frame parser. Now you only need to do this once, not for every frame, right? And once you have done that, now you can apply the frame parser to the raw frame. Okay, so let's see how we can really apply that. Okay, so this is how I have modified my callback function. So remember, it was a very simple one earlier. I just used my context, and I simply used to do NMAD frame over here. But now what I do is basically I apply some parsing logic over here. So after I get the handle to the capture file, I check everything is valid. I try to parse the frame using the H frame parser that I have, and all these handles are coming from, they are global, it's all voodoo, it's magic, so it's always there with me, right? So I get the raw frame, I use the raw frame, and I get a handle of the parsed frame. Now this is my parsed frame, and now I can use this to get the fields, whatever fields I added, the actual field values, strings, 8 bits or 16 bit, or I could check to see if the frame really passes the filter. So if I want to check it, I just use the NM evaluate filter. And this is where I actually use the filter ID that was stored initially. If you guys remember that. And so it was there, and then basically I just get a variable over here, like, yeah, it passed or not. Question. Okay, so the question is, what are the performance considerations of adding or applying the parser logic inside the frame callback versus doing it in a separate thread or separate method where the frame callback is just adding the frame directly to the capture file, and the separate method is trying to go through the capture file, go to the file and then applying the logic, right? So this is basically, so the example code that I think what you were seeing in the chump file and in the help file was probably written before I think the change or we modified or enhanced our engine to support buffering. So that is actually a legacy code if you're seeing somewhere in the help file. So this is going to just work fine. So earlier what was happening was this frame callback was called from the capture engine thread, and then any time you apply a parsing logic or any time you do something really weird in this callback or heavy processing over here, it's going to drop frames because that was the thread was used by the capture engine to call back frames. But now we have modified in 3.2 onwards, I think, yeah, in 3.2 onwards, that you can still apply parsing logic over here and you won't result in drop frames. Although, because it's all buffered, so you will be getting callbacks. I mean, even if you do heavy processing over here, it is just that the engine is now buffering for you, and it's just going to keep calling you back and back for the frames that it has. So the question is, how big is the buffer for the capture engine, and how can you control that? So by default, the API right now doesn't provide any functionality to control that buffer. You could use the Netmon UI to actually configure, or NMCAP to configure the individual links for the buffer. And then there's a hard limit. So right now the limit is, I think the default limit is, it starts with 20 megs of chain capture size. And when it finishes 20 megs, it will create another 20 meg buffer. It will just create small segments of 20 megs. That's the default size. But what might happen, I mean, and then there's a hard limit also that it won't just eat up your disk at about 20 gigs or something like that. Yeah, yeah, it's buffering this to disk. So if you look up your, you're really savvy and you're really interested, it'll, you look up the temporary location, and then you can see the files named root star or something. That's a root chain capture files and stuff like that. So you can see what is going on. You can use a file monitor also to see what's going on. Okay, so the question is, how can we filter by process name? So processes, if you're opening a capture file, and if the capture file contains process information, then you can filter it. But in, with live capture, there's unfortunately no way right now to actually filter by process information, because we don't store process information if you're capturing using the API. And this is only for the with the API and in a cap. So if we don't store process information in the capture file, we don't store it around because we don't know how you are going to use it yet. So we have to work on that a little bit to actually support process information from the API and MCAP. Now, with the UI, you can still do it. So that's there's a little bit of a problem with over there. But. Okay, so the question from the live meeting from Jeremy is, it would be okay to take this processing in the MyFrame callback and do it async on another thread, correct? So the answer is yes, you can disintegrate this logic over here and let the callback still go and just simply add the frames to the capture file, and you could do it in a separate thread, apply the passing logic. Sorry, yeah. No, so not on the handle. So basically add the frame to the capture file, and then you can create another thread which just reads the capture. Oh, so for the live meeting folks, I think the discussion was that the discussion that we had just in the room was that the handle to the raw frame that we received in the frame callback, it's not a good idea to actually hold on to it, because the engine is going to close it as soon as it finishes, it's done with the callback itself. So that, is it possible to take the data of the each pass frame and copy it to our own buffer and pass that off to a worker thread, thus not holding on to the handle and also not holding up the callback? Copy it on. Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah. So the answer to that question is yes, you can do that, but you can actually get the raw frame and then you can do whatever you feel like and pass it off to a worker thread. Okay, so I added the frame to the capture file, and now I actually really know where you went based on the capture filter. Okay, so let's just talk about a little bit the scenarios for stopping the capture. So before jumping to the API, I just wanted to bring up the UI mockup that I have, a screenshot. Okay, so first of all, let me ask you, how many people have actually used the UI, a super intuitive UI? So, okay, cool, so people have used about it. All right, so in this mockup, what we have is basically we have a live capture tab. The way how we see it's live is because of the green dot that we show next to the capture one, and that's how we know it's live, and the pause and the start button is disabled, and the pause and stop are enabled. So that's how we know it's actually live. Okay. Now, what else do we see over here? We see a bunch of frames in the frame summary window that's in the center of the mockup, and we have a capture filter tab open over here, and we see that we have an HTTP filter that's applied. So we see that we are capturing, and we have all the frames that belong to HTTP, and we only are only capturing HTTP frames. And what we also see is that basically the Internet Explorer.exe node in the conversations tree is also selected. So how does this affect everything? So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you see all these numbers down below over here, pending, captured, and dropped, and displayed, all these things. So I just wanted to go through this a little bit. That might make you understand where I'm going with this stopping a capture. So what happens when we are actually starting the capture? So see all these, the pendings over here. So the number of frames that the driver saw, or the number of frames that the capture engine saw, is not what we show over here directly. So that is just the total number of received frames. Let's say we get like 2,000 or 20,000 frames over here. And then after that, we apply the capture filter on each of these frames. Now, frames which pass the capture filter, that's what's shown over here as a captured count. It's 2,000. 293. The frames that are that don't pass are discarded, which is not shown anywhere over here. The frames that still need to be looked upon, the frames that are still in the buffer but we haven't applied any filtering logic yet, is the pending count over here. So that's 11,383 frames right now over here. So that is what basically means that there are still some frames in the buffer that we need to look upon or we need to process it. And what is displayed? Displayed is just the frames that are displayed in the frame summary view. So in this case, because we have kind of selected the Internet Explorer EXE node over there, so that means that there's a filter applied on top of the capture filter, and this frame summary view is now filtered even more. So, okay, so what do we expect when we actually stop the capture, or when we hit the stop button? So when we hit the stop button, we expect that the driver should stop capturing, but we should still keep processing these frames, right, because we already captured everything. So the pending count will, if you hit the stop button at this point, well, nothing is going to happen because of the screenshot. So anyway, so if you hit the stop button, the pending count will start going down because it's now processing all these frames, and soon it will go to zero, and the capture may or may not increase. Now what happens if we actually just close the tab without stopping a capture? If we just close the tab without stopping a capture, we would expect that I don't care about all the frames that we have captured. I don't care about the frames that are processed or not processed. I just want to close the tab immediately. So that's what we want. So these are two different behaviors, whether or not you want to stop and keep processing all these frames which are available in the buffer, or you just want to discard the remaining frames. That's what I wanted to bring out over here. So that's how the UI works. And similarly for the API, so the stop capture has two options, whether or not to stop immediately or to just wait for the processing the frames and just block over there and just wait over there. So what you can do is basically you can use the NM capture callback exit mode in NM config adapter itself, and you can specify discard remaining frames or return remaining frames over there. That's how you can control that value. So when you do NM stop capture, you know what to do for that, or you know what to expect. Okay, any queries, questions or something? Okay, so other scenarios and how to address some kind of performance needs, some scenarios that might require some kind of performance questions. Okay, circular capture. So as we already mentioned a little bit earlier, that there's an option to do circular capture. So why do we need a circular capture? Circular capture could be, let's say you're just capturing all and you know that there's going to be a problem at some point, but you don't know when. And maybe the Windows event log or there's some other log file that actually that gives you an indication, or gives you a hint that the problem occurred. So you just want to get a snapshot of the traffic that was going on at that period of time. So then you might want to use a circular capture. That means there is like a circular queue. So last in, first in, first out, and whatever, it will just circulate it. So you can specify NM capture file mode, NM capture file wraparound, and then we have the option of chain capture. So now chain capture is default mode that we that most people use, basically that we are just incrementing the chains. And the chains mean basically the individual segments that are covered while we are actually capturing. So let's say you're just capturing, and you don't want to circulate on it, but you just want to capture for a long time. That's where chain capture is helpful. And you can just keep capturing and saving to a file, and there's some other file, other information, other function or routine that actually passes through the file or does some analysis to it, and that depends on what the need of that application. So that's another option. Yeah, sure, this question. Oh, so in the buffer size, so again, so it's the buffer size, whatever you specify over there, so default buffer size is 20 megs, whatever it is just going to use the same thing. It will just overriding the frame, the first frame, if it sees that there's the end of the file. No, so okay, so the question is there a way to override the buffer value for the root chain capture or the default buffer that we use in the engine to support circular capture? So no, there's no way right now from the API to override that mode. But you can use the UI to change the value and then it's done. Yeah, so there's another option. So let's say if you go back to the example of opening or saving frames to a capture file, remember we had the option of specifying NM capture file chain or something, right? NM capture file chain, and we can specify NM capture file circular. So in that file, whatever value you specify as the file size, let's say, remember we had 2 and 0000 something as a 20 meg size. If you specify 40 megs or 60 megs, so that is your 60 meg circular buffer, and then you can use the engine's chaining buffer by default and use your own circular buffer for your need, right? So that might solve that problem. Okay, capturing P mode for an Ethernet interface. So you have the option of specifying or using a promiscuous mode, and the promiscuous mode is basically, it is helpful if you want to see what kind of conversations are going on the hub, basically, and you are listening to other data also. So you could use NM local only or NM promiscuous options flags for with the NM start capture. That's how you can switch to promiscuous mode for the individual adapter or for the adapters that actually support. Now, that is interesting also, that you do need to understand that it may or may not work for all adapters. The promiscuous mode may work only on adapters which actually support that mode. So you can get that mode information using an get adapter information, and there's a P mode enabled member variable in that NIC structure, whatever you get from NM get adapter information, then you can decide whether, or you can know whether the adapter supports P mode or not. Okay, monitor mode. So I know how many of you guys are aware of monitor mode for wireless? Because anybody aware of the monitor mode? Okay, so one. Manager knows about it. All right. So monitor mode is basically a mode used by some Wi-Fi adapters, where if the wireless adapter, where you can sniff on or you can listen on the traffic that's been received by the Wi-Fi adapter on different channels, and you can scan different channels. So on wireless, let's say 802.11a or 802.11b, whatever, you can have 10 channels or 12 channels depending on the adapter, and then you can just keep listening it. Now, as soon as you go into the monitor mode, you actually lose connection. Kind of risky also, because now you're just receiving. You don't stop at one point to actually send data. You just keep receiving on different channels. So that's the monitor mode, and that's right now the UI supports it, where you can click on an adapter and see on a wireless adapter, and if it does support monitor mode, you can bring up the network properties, and from there you have to use administrator privileges to switch to the adapter's monitor mode. Now, we don't have the API to do that, and the reason is because it's publicly documented on MSDN. We just wanted to have it from the UI to do it because it's convenient. And so one way, if you're actually really interested in the API application to switch to a monitor mode, is either you use the UI to select an adapter, switch to monitor mode, or just create your own routine, or the MSDN documented or recommended way to write your own function to do. By the way, so with monitor mode, once you switch to a monitor mode, you lose connection. So just remember that it's actually a little bit risky. So you, before closing your application or something, make sure that you go back to the regular mode or to the local mode, whatever you suggest. Okay. So the threading modes, I won't go in a lot of detail over here, but this is a common problem basically people see with managed code when they're trying to capture. And then again, it follows on the same lines what Darren pointed out in his earlier presentation about the driver mode for Windows XP, Server 03 and stuff. So this is just to walk through a little bit for reference purposes also, that the default value for the API threading mode is coinit apartment threaded. And what you can do is you can change it to coinit multi-threaded and use the NM API initialize to set the threading mode. And there are other ways also to do that. When you're in a managed application, you can specify STA thread attribute, single threaded attribute over there. So there's a whole article on Netmon's help file that discusses how to manage threading modes between different applications and how you can do it. So you can go through it if you face any problems there. Now, how do you know that you, well, one question is, how do you know that you are facing a problem with the capture? You just started a capture, and it's not capturing. Is it not capturing because there are no frames, or is it not capturing because it failed? So you will get an error code when you say NM start capture. So there will be some E underscore, some value that will indicate that, yeah, it's a threading mode issue. Okay, so it's kind of closing up a little bit. So where do I find? So my best buddy is basically Netmon help file. I'm telling you that it's very important. If you're looking at the API, just go to the chum file. If you really need to update the passwords, you can go to nmpasswords.codeplex.com. Okay. Final thoughts? Close all NMAPI handles appropriately. It's very important. For native applications, do check for memory leaks. It's very important. Handle thread synchronization logs properly. Close the logs, initialize logs. That's very important, or else you will face problems. And follow UI guidelines. It's also important to have your experts or your applications, if you really want to work with Netmon UI a little bit. So maybe try to follow the guidelines that are by MSDN. That's important, I think. And that's pretty much it. Do you have any questions? Okay, so sorry. So the question for the live meeting post, the question is basically, it's not a question. It's basically a suggestion, I think, that we may be able to gain some space by compressing the capture file itself. That is basically compressing the frame data that you mean, right? So yes, I think so. It is probably a good idea, but again, it depends on how the engine is reading the frames from the capture file, because then you take a hit a little bit on compressing each one. Right now, we have a different paradigm of opening a capture file, but maybe it's... Yeah, sure. So the question is basically, how do we support enable frame truncation, right? So basically, while capturing, is it possible to only capture the first 60 bytes or 70 bytes, something like that? Yeah, I don't think we support frame truncation from the API yet. Okay, so the question is, how do I actually handle timestamps accurately so that the timestamp calculation based on done in the frame callback matches the actual timestamp in the frames, correct? Right now, the timestamps, maybe that might give you a little bit better idea. The timestamps for each frame are basically relative timestamps, and the actual timestamp that we do is we get for the frame is we base it off the capture file header. So we do a calculation over there, just add it from the capture file headers, file time, and then basically do our calculation and do it. So, okay, no question? All right, thank you.